Ve'alacha de b'maskel oistam says, you know, but if you do it in general, then you're part of all by these other shratzim. So then you're part of a lasa. Now it says l'chor according to the Magen Ram writes the reason the name of the Ran, that if you look in the Ran, you'll see that he differentiates. That the Shmoyne Shratzim that doesn't usually damage, so therefore obviously in general that when you're trapping them for it's for some purpose, which is not the case by the other ones that you have no purpose for it. Mistama that trapping it not for its purpose, and it's only that it doesn't damage, and therefore it's a malach hashem. Look over there. So therefore it's gonna be pata. But if that's the case, it should be, actually be mutlak and chil for this reason, similar to what Machab is making on Zivazayan regarding Ramasim and Mazikim. Why is he right that it's pata balasim? Says Balacha, maybe you could say that this Machab writes in Zivazayan Ramasim and Mazikim, the staff could do me to the Chashma Krab. Snakes and scorpions, where the bite is very harsh, and the Chazal permitted the Issa Malacha Chain Zichl Gufa, which is not the case over here. Which actually, Dirshut 64 brings a hornet. Shulchan Aruch writes that it's not like a snake and scorpion. It's like a mosquito and a flea. Where you're not allowed to trap it, only if it's on a person's flesh and biting. Now, Teres Malachas is brought to Pinner of Mizgaril. It said even a bee actually is a halacha like a mazik, and you're allowed to trap it if you can turn that it's going to bite a people. But that's when Bi Alacha contains and the other way, and it's not similar to the fleas in the next seven Sivtaz that also has a very light bite, but still it's on the person's flesh and biting him, which is not the case over here. If not, that the sheretz is running after him to damage him, we're there for sure, yeah. It says the Belach, you're allowed to trap him, and maybe even to kill him, as we see later on in Sibyot, where Dishra 65 brings, because the Mishabur brings that when there's no Savat Pekuch, Nefesh Kondor Ram, it's forbidden to kill him, Kondor, otherwise it's permitted. Says, look what I write later on, also a resolution on this. But according to he says, wait a second. According to what the Magen Ram writes, the reason, the name of the Ran, like we mentioned before, it's difficult because why is Shulchan Aruch writing according to Ram the Mechayev? But he also agrees in Siv Zayin that it's permitted like a tchila. And for this reason, it's considered like Masasuk Be'alm because his intention is only to chase away that it doesn't damage him. If that's the case in our situation where we're saying that Stam Shratzim you trap so that they don't damage, so it actually should be mutl like a tchila. And that's also how Gordon Rabbi Kiveh asks in his Chedushim. However, after analysis, says the Be'alach, it appears to me, it's not a question at all because the whole reason the Ram that permits in Siv Zayin, even though in general that's because included like masasik ba'alma, like you just want to be safe from the bite. That's shaykh only when you're intending, when you're trapping it for this reason, which is not the case when you trap them stam or even shalei l'tzar, since at least you're having a mind to trap. That doesn't nullify from it the name of trapping, because in general the shratzim you trap it so that it doesn't damage. And when you look at very well, you'll find this all in the very clear wording of the Rambam. His words in Perkut Halacha Chavav is like this: whether it's the shemayin shratzim mentioned in the Torah, whether the other shratzim masim that you have a type tzeda, you trap one of any one of them, whether l'tzarech or shalei l'tzarech, or just to play around with them, you can be chayv. Since you're intending to trap, and you trapped, that malacha chains the gufa, you can be chayv. That's his words. Now, then chavhei, he writes, remasim ha-mazikim, like nechashim ha-krab, things like that, even though you don't kill them, since they're biting, you're allowed to trap them, even though they're not killing, but since they're biting, you're allowed to trap them on Shabbos. And that's if you have a mind to save from their bite, look over there. So you see, he requires a kavanah specifically that even by those meaning that generally they damage, and for sure, stomach they're trapped so that they don't damage. Obviously, it's because the Shem Masasik is not placed in this as long as you didn't have explicitly in mind to be safe in the bite. Also, he says, without words, it removes the question that we asked before on the Shulchan Aruch, why is he right part of Al-Asa? I, in the beginning, read since the Zayin, that so that it doesn't bite is permitted. And here also should be the same thing. But according to what we're saying, it makes sense. Because they weren't leaning only when you have in mind that doesn't bite, but not when you have in mind to trap, even though it's unnecessary to say that in the Tzimlach Shem Zalgufa, it would still at least be rabbinically forbidden. Some of the Dirshus, Dirshu number 47. So we're talking about Achbar and Tzav. So even though in a distinct place, they don't really use the skin of an Achbar, of a mouse, but the Chayodim writes that's considered like a Davash Abim Nitzit, since they do utilize the skin in other places. However, in our times, the Harash Abbas writes that trapping mice is not also only Rabban, because they're not trapped for the purpose of utility. That's written in Kaivis Bebes Levi. Now, regarding Achbar that was trapped on Shabbos, in the mouse trap, Aruch HaShulchan says that if it's known that it's hungry, it's a mitzvah to give it food on Shabbos, because the pasuk can tell him, that's how he brings the Kaivis Bebes Levi. There's number 48 that says that one of the Shemayin Shratzim is the Tzav, the toad. So it sounds like even creatures that go very slow and very easy to trap them, it's forbidden to trap them in that Torah. However, Shlomo Zalman writes that the Tzav that's counted in the Torah and you chayv for its trapping is not the toad in our times. It's a different creature that doesn't go so slow, whereas the one in our times that has like a shell, there's no issue to trap it. Another thing that Buzna holds, that even though that it's logical that it's a trap that's told in our times, not with the Reitzah, because someone to a chika to lame, which brought in Shokalach, said, Beza, you're not chayv for trapping it, and this is not the toad that the Torah talks about. However, it would still be rabbinically forbidden. According to Mnisgrel, the toad in our times is the toad that's mentioned in the Torah, you're chayv for trapping it, even though it goes very slow, because that's its power. When you trap it, it's constricting its freedom, and he adds on that he heard that in the deserts there are these large toads that it could run away. And by there, for sure, the halacha of tzeda applies. Dish number 49, how do you qualify something that davar shebe min nitzer? Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, it's logical, it's not a permanent gather. It all depends on how people are accustomed at that time, as we mentioned regarding the mice in Hour 47. Dish number 50, even if a person injures a living creature that's going to end up dying very shortly, for example, like a behemoth, that's what's called mefarcheses, it's in the throes of death, after, let's say, it was mostly slaughtered, the Prima Gadim writes, you still have in the teals of Shabbat. Mechaz chenech is mefakvig, in his words, it's not sure regarding also a behemoth that's a trepa, that it lost its signs of vitality, if there isn't a teal of Shabbat reply. When the Shabbat says, yes, he writes, it's mefarcheses, place the rhythm, set up Shabbat, that's called Shabbat, that lalacha, you injure a trepa on Shabbat, you have, and that's as mucham, mishem, psachem, ayin, alfam, vez, and that's a chaz nish, right, that if you kill a behemoth trepa, or even mefarcheses, you're going to be chayv. Dishma 51, that the Be'al Lecha brought the Shittas Rambam that it's not from the Tehillah Shel Shabbat, it's from Mefarek, it's a Tehillah Lav Dash. Now, even though it brought the Rambam Parag Yilav Mechaz Shabbos, that if someone slaughters his chayv from the Tehillah Shel Shabbat, the Mechaz Chalim writes, according to Rambam, the injuring, however, is not from the Tehillah Shel Shabbat because you didn't take the whole Neshama away. Dishma 55, that even to hit a friend in a playful way or to grab over to his flesh that strongly, that his flesh is going to get red, Benesh Chai writes, that's us, at least with Rabbanim. Dish of 56, also to wipe a wound that you know through the wiping of blood is going to come out, writes in Simesh and Chavchas, that's forbidden. Because it's a psik reisha, it's inevitable. To scratch with one hand one's flesh, Mish writes in Shin Chavzan, that's permitted, but you have to be careful not to make a chabura. That's the Benesh Chai writes, which brought in the Karvachim, that whoever does it has to be careful to scratch softly, not strongly, and he adds on that so too, it's going to be careful not to scratch one's teeth with a needle, because blood might come out. Regarding a concern that blood coming out when brushing your teeth on Shabbos, that we discussed later in Simchat Shin Chav Zayin. Dish number 58, to do a blood test for a Chodesh Shem HaZakan, or this girl holds, that's forbidden because you have to take out the blood to check it, and for that it's considered as the malacha of taking out the blood, as a malacha Tzrich L'Guv, and that's how the Chuvus Erletzian writes. Regarding an ejection, that's it, going into a person's veins. Chazak Labransky's opinion is that forbidden in that Torah, because since before you do the injection, so you have to take a little bit of blood into the vial to verify that the needle is going into the vein. Shem Zaman is not sure. Maybe this taking out of the blood is considered malacha shein tzuch leguv because you don't really need the blood and you're only doing it as a sign. Shuvah Sheva Levi writes that since that you're not interested in opening of the injection, that it should remain open and it's like removing a thorn, that Mishra writes in Simchat Chavchas that's permitted, and also even if a little blood comes out, it's makalkal and therefore it's permitted. That's written in Shuvah Sheva Letzin that the injection into the vein is permitted since the taking out of the blood is considered makalkal and like malacha shein tzuch leguv and therefore permitted for ochela. This girl holds not to permit it only through a non-Jew. Regarding injection that goes subcutaneous underneath the skin, not into the vein, Chaznish holds that it's permitted even for Chodesh Shem HaZakana. And regarding injection that goes into the muscle, Shuvah Sheva Levi writes that you could be lenient to give it to Chodesh Shem HaZakana in a place when there's a great need, because that's not definitive that blood's going to come out. And even if it does, it considers Makalka, that's a Menes Karelitz, because it's not Psik Resha blood's going to come out. However, if you see that Psik Resha blood's going to come out, then one should stop. Dish number 59, Be'alacha and Simen Shin Chavches, writes that even though in Mishnah Berurah over there he says like depending on the Magid Ram that taking out a tooth is forbidden in the Reisa, however it would seem more that's not a Issa Reisa because you're not intending to take out the blood and that's a Psik Risha Nichle that you're not you don't care about. Maisi writes that even though one should not be lenient to take out a tooth through a Jew, however through a non-Jew it's possible that one could be lenient even if the Jew is not so sick through the toothache that it's affecting his whole body. Dish number 60. What does it mean that it's to play around with the animal when you're trapping is Malacha Shein Tzuch L'Gufa? The Chaznish writes as Tumah by a person that loves to trap creatures and to free them and to trap them, that he doesn't really need the creature himself. However, if he intends to trap them, to play with them at a later point in time, to have it for a long time, that would be considered Malacha Tzuch L'Gufa. Dish 61, if someone pours out the water from a bucket that the fish is inside, says the Aruch Sameach, that's also going to be chayv in the Tehillas Neshama. Dish number 62, even though taking fish out of a water and putting it back before it dries up like a sela, l'chor is like chatzi shir, it's like you did half of the amount, then it should be forbidden in the Torah, and therefore it should be forbidden to tell a non-Jew to do this, because it's not just Isra Banan, that's a machzah shekel, writes. Shemazan writes that it's not considered chatzi shir, because since taking the fish out of the water is not any less than, let's say, heating up water, less than a shir yatza ledesboy, which brought in Shin Yud Ches, that the Isra is only in the place where it could reach the and it's only because of chumrah. As a concern, you might forget to take it off the stove until it gets to that shear, and that's the Brit Torah Shabbos because that's not in the category of chatzis shear. And same with us, Torah over here, and the Marsham explains that regarding Yoni Shabbos, chatzis shear is not also only in Rabbanan. Look at Mishra later on Simchat Shemen Sukkot Gimel, especially in our situation where the chatzis shear, the first one's not really fit to combine with to a whole shear because whenever you put it back into the water, it's like that the fish remain alive. And the whole idea of chatzis shear that could combine to be a full shear, and also by something that you're not intending and when you're telling a non-Jew, that's going to be permitted. dish number 63 in Simen Shin Zayin, Mishnah writes that shus to shus is not permitted only by Mokum Hefsim Ruba. That's what writes later on Simen Shin Lam Adal. Our Prima Gadim is brought that the reason why the Hetter over here is like it's brought in Paiskim in Simen Reishayin Vav that it's permitted to a non-Jew to move for him a Dvar Muksa when he needs the Muksa or its place, since the Jew himself could have moved the Muksa through Tilda Malatzad indirectly because he's moving in Latzarech Dvar Muta, and only when his intention to move the Muksa Latzarech the Muksa itself, for example, to save the Muksa from loss or something like that, then it's permitted to tell a non-Jew to move it only if there's Hefsim Ruba, like we mentioned, and they're permitted to tell a non-Jew to move the fish. Because since the moving is so that the water doesn't get ruined, that's tilt the vamuta, which is permitted